Nathan committed suicide. A group of us family appeared in his dream and he said, take initiation from so-called Raja Goswami, whose appearance disappeared today or yesterday, and I'm not different from him. So then, Srinivasacharya reaches Vrindavan, and he went to visit the samadhi of Sri Rupa Goswami. And there, when he saw the samadhi, he immediately fell down to the ground to offer obeisances, wailing. So after consoling he was with Srila Jiva Goswami, who consoled him. And then Jiva Goswami took him directly to meet with Srila Gopala Bhakti Goswami. And they found Gopala Bhakti Goswami sitting in a quiet place, crying miserably. And then Srinivas, seeing Gopala Bhakti Goswami like that, he lost control of himself and fell on the ground in front of Gopala Bhakti Goswami. And tears flowed constantly from his eyes as he offered obeisances while Jiva Goswami introduced them. And then, although we didn't hear this here this morning, right? Okay. So then, although Gopala Bhakti Goswami was burning in the fire of separation from Mahaprabhu, he became joyful upon seeing Srinivas, and he affectionately placed his feet on the head of Srinivas and asked him to sit down. Then he inquired about different types of news from Srinivas, who described everything from beginning to end, what he'd been through. And then, by hearing this news, Gopala Bhakti Goswami again became heroic. He told him about the instructions, but it wasn't a moroseness like we have. It was a moroseness that was one of the varieties of ecstasy, ecstasy of separation. Like here, when we're happier, when we're stressed, when we're fearful, when we lament, it's all varieties of material misery. But for the spiritual personality, lamentation, joy, fear, apprehension, grief, it's all varieties of transcendental ecstasy. So that's why we hear about them, so that we develop a desire to be like them and to give up our silly, ridiculous material emotions and qualities. So then, Sri Gopala Bhakti Goswami told Srinivas about the instructions that he had received in a dream. He also received instructions in a dream from Rupa Goswami that he should initiate Srinivasacharya. And so he prayed Srinivas' good fortune. And then Jiva Goswami began to speak about Srinivasa. And he told Gopala Bhakta that Srinivasa was very eager to take initiation from him. And Gopala Bhakta agreed that initiation would be held on the second day of the moon. And then Gopala Bhakta Goswami had a self-manifest deity, which is still with us today, named Radha Raman. And so Jiva Goswami took Srinivas to meet Gopala Bhakti Goswami's deity. He was extremely beautiful, and only the most fortunate people were allowed his darshan. Now I will tell you, this is Narahari Sagar, who is the author of this book that I'm sometimes reading from, called Bhakti Ratnakara. And to agree they quote from this book a lot also. Now I will tell you how letter one of Gopal Bhatta Goswami became manifest. Did you hear that yesterday morning? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami to find Lord Hari in his Shalagram Shila. Shalagram Shila are stones that are actually Krishna or Damodar or Narayan or Radhakrishna, and they're found on the banks of sacred rivers like the Ganges, like in Hardwar or the Himalayas. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami had one of these Shalagram Shilas, and Mahaprabhu ordered him to find Lord Hari in his Shila. So Gopal Bhatta told Rupa Goswami about the instruction of Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami, this is before, obviously, before Rupa Goswami's disappearance, Rupa Goswami lovingly replied, "Sri Govindadev is everything to you, yet it is his desire that you serve him separately." So after 2 days, Lord Hari became manifest from the Shalagram Shila. In Radharaman's beautiful form, the face was like Govindadev, the chest was like Gopinath, and the feet were like Madan Mohan, the three famous deities of Vrindavan. The Sambandha, Tattva deity, Madan Mohan, the Abhideya deity, who engages us in relationships with him, Govinda, and Gopinath, who gives us the goal of those loving exchanges, which is Krishna praying. So on the auspicious day of the full moon in the month of Vishakha, Radharaman was installed by Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami on Srinathana, or his throne. And the great festival was held to mark the installation of the deity. And since then, Radharaman has become famous throughout the world as the Lord who is bound by the love of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So it's stated in the Sanskrit book called Sadhana Jitika. It's stated there, "I worship Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, whose life and soul were the lotus feet of Govindadev of Vrindavan, but who accepted the task of serving him separately according to the instruction of Sri Rupa Goswami." This is very interesting. That for those who are connected with the Lord by pure love, they hear in their dreams, or they hear personally, as Gopala Bhatta Goswami was a personal associate of Srila Rupa Goswami. Do this, do that, don't do this, or go here, go there. And now, then even for us conditioned souls, we have a guru who's connected, who can tell us, do this, do that, don't go here, go there. But for us disconnected souls, and I'm speaking for myself, as the most disconnected, and that's really my most feeling of separation and separation from Gurudev, my personal, is that I'm disconnected from what he wants to give. And what he tried so hard to give me, and I never really made a big endeavor. So I feel separation from that and that. So for us disconnected souls, I can only think, if I haven't got my order directly from Gurudev, I can think that I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Or I can think that I know what somebody else is supposed to be doing, but I may not know. How do I know that Radha Gopinath wants Jamuna to be cooking for them today? I don't. So therefore, if I'm asking Jamuna that she could cook today, I don't ask it in such a way that you better cook because I know that it's your day to cook. Because I don't know what best that she's going to do at this minute, and I don't know what Radha Gopinath's desire is or your day's desire. So therefore, with the utmost respect and humility and hope that I'm saying the right thing, I say what I'm going to say to her. In that regard, I'll just take a little break from Gopal Bhagavata Swami for a minute to talk about service. Sometimes we, in our disconnected state, think that service is a punishment. Well, why do I have to do that? Why didn't the other person do that? How did they get off the hook and I ended up doing it? So very interestingly, one of the wonderful things that Srila Gurudev used to say about Srila Vaman Maharaj, who's quite an expert, who's a major in Srimati Radhika, and just like Gurudev came here in the form of a sadhak to give his mercy, he took it upon himself to clean the schoolroom of the mandir, and then, thinking that I'm the most fallen, and all the other devotees who use the schoolroom are superior to me, and they're real righteous, after he cleaned the schoolroom, he would take the bucket of stool and carry it on his head to bring it to wherever it was going to be done to bury. And I might think, oh God, I have to serve the shot for my third day in a row. I can't believe it. And that other person got at it. So very interestingly to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself considered serving the shot, which is not different from the pastimes of Radha and Krishna themselves, not different from Radha and Krishna, not different from the holy name, which can create and destroy innumerable universes in a second. Not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he couldn't give anybody very little because his hands were so big, so he gave everybody enough for five people. But his topmost associates, like Rai Ramananda and Sarup Damodar, who was the private secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so very elevated position, very important service. No one can even read anything, like suppose I wrote a poem about Mahaprabhu. I wouldn't get to read it to him unless it went through his Sri Damodar as his private secretary, and he got, no, this is all up to Dasa here, the sentiment is right, okay, I'll present it to him, or you can read it to him. So very, very intimate, high service. And he was serving the prasadam, because the prasadam is very high. And to serve the prasadam is very high. The mandiris in Goloka Vrindavan, they also serve the prasadam to Radha and Krishna, and they carry the prasadam. Radharani makes the prasadam, and then they carry the prasadam on the day in the evening, say, in the morning they will go with Radharani to cook. But say in the evening, she doesn't go, she just cooks at home. And then they carry on their head big boxes, big, like, big giant, what do you call those? Made of clay pots, with smaller clay pots in them, and covered with a white fancy cloth. And everything was such an honor to do. Srila Gurudev said that he wasn't allowed to serve prasadam in Navadvipa because he didn't have initiation. And he felt himself so fortunate that he was able to get initiation and get to serve the prasadam. So, we're offered the opportunity to consider our great fortune in all the various services that we've yet to do, not have to do. I remember even us disconnected neophytes in the days that I was still a girlfriend. We didn't walk through our services. We ran like the wind to do any kind of service because it was so exciting. And I'm nothing, but I remember that one. We had a mama cleanup every day in New York at the old Brooklyn Temple. And I was so excited about the whole thing. And I had a double excitement because I had the opportunity when I was cleaning in the Boba room, I think it was, I could learn verses while I was cleaning in the Boba room. Like I would clean the wall, and then I would have a paper with the verse. Well, with the Bun, I was first learning Bundy Humphrey. Back in my, Bundy Humphrey, we were in the speaking shop or something else, back in the early 70s. So I would have a paper or a song book on the table, and then I'd say Bundy Humphrey. And then, leaning the wall, Bundy Humphrey, Bundy Humphrey, Bundy Humphrey. She used to have a second one. She told us about Bundy Humphrey. So everything was very exciting. And I heard also from Sukumarai that he would learn thousands of verses when he was a magician. And if I'm not so, my brain isn't so active, then I can hear while I'm in the kitchen. And I'll run to the kitchen to cook because then I have my iPod, or I can go to Shamarani and borrow her loudspeaker with her iPod. I think he owed me glasses, money, glasses of verdes, wow, teaching me how I can enter into money's laws. Wow, I mean, how lucky can a person get? So I just wanted to mention that, those kind of things about service. In fact, Prabhupada would have to yell at us to do less, because our health could be maintained during so many hours. Prabhupada had to yell at us to sleep more and do less. And then, and so do they also. So, where are we? I wrote to the inhabitants of Braj, Sri Gopal Bhatta, the son of Sri Venkata Bhatta, who is the elder brother of Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. And who is Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati? He's Timuridhya in Krishna Leela. Timuridhya is one of the eight principal gopis, sakis, or Priyanam Sati, very intimate Sati of Radharani. So Prabodhananda Saraswati is the uncle of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And similarly, Krishna Leela, the Manjari sometimes serves under the gopis, like the eight gopis, like for example, in dressing, bathing and dressing Radharani in the morning. Lalita and Chandravidya and them, they were like the leaders, and the Manjaris were these things under their guidance. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami is, I think, Guna Manjari. So interesting that his uncle is Prabodhananda Saraswati, just like, who is that? He's Krishna Bhani Maharaj and Krishna Leela, and he's Pundarika Dhanidhi in Chaitanya Leela, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored like a father. Huh? Siddhartha Pandit, who's Radharani, took initiation from Pundarika Dhanidhi. So it's like you can't be under the father. If one can see Srimad Gopal with Sri Radhika, Sri Govinda with Vrindavan Aishwarya, and Sri Gopinath with Sri Vrishabhanu Kumari, this life will surely be successful. And all those three are make up the body of Bhadaraman, who appeared due to the love of Sri Rupa Sri Gopal Bhattava Swami. During this installation ceremony, the intimate associates of Gopal Bhattava Swami performed the ceremony of Abhishek, bathing the deity with five kinds of auspicious substances like yogurt, honey, sugar, milk. Water, but that makes him sick, and he, thank you. So they gave Brahman with those five plus one water, he's sick. The deity made his own temple and helped Gopal Bhattava Swami begin his worship. That reminds me of some other wonderful things that they keep trying to help us with. Up to this very day. And one time he tried to help was in 2009, in one of his yoga classes that he was giving to his traveling party. So, all of a sudden, he starts talking about the Mahabharata. He said, after the Mahabharata war, don't worry, please. After the Mahabharata war, it's coming back to service. You know, there's several things about the service. And what Vivek wants you to become, which is humble. And not think we're doing anything. I have to do all this, and nobody else is like me, and nobody else wants me. How come I can't be as good as them? Because they're getting all the mercy that they deserve, and I have to do more. Whereas in the spiritual world, we serve 24 hours a day, 24-7, not even stopping for the wink of an eye. And when their eyes do blink, they condemn the Creator with the wink of eyelids. So they can't do their service. So anyway, right after the Mahabharata war, so many big Maharaki is a warrior who has the strength of 10,000 elephants. And some of these big Maharajas like Dronacharya, Suryodhana, Karna, Bhishma, they were all killed. And then all of a sudden there was an argument between you know, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have won the war. It's because of me that Suryodhana died and Ashwamedha died and all of them. I did it all. And then Bhima said, no, I did it all. But what, if I wasn't on their side, it's no way you could have won the war. Those warriors could have been killed if it wasn't for me. So they were arguing. And then Krishna came along, and Krishna said, well, we have a witness who will determine who is the greatest warrior and help us win the war. And that witness is Bhargavi. Bhargavi is the grandson of Bhima. And his mother was a demoness. I mean, his grandmother was a mystic power demoness who married me. And so he had all this mystic power. So previously, Bhagavan had approached Krishna and said, why are you trying to collect all these warriors? I can kill anybody in a second. I'll be your just one and only warrior. So Krishna said, well, how can you do that? So he said, they watched. They took a piece of grass, and they threw the grass, and immediately there was a red mark on everybody's chest who was around, including Christensen. And he said, similarly, during the war, I can kill everybody that fast, and everybody's going to have that red mark. The Christian said, well, actually, you don't really want him to be killed that fast. It won't be a battle, it'll just be a massacre. So Krishna immediately took his Sudarshan chakra and chopped off his head. And then his head was still alive. And we said, what did you do that for? He said, I don't really want you to participate.